This year you will suffer no loss.
GAP TV, RCCG Dubai TV channel.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. Philippians 3, 7 to 12. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. One of my sons said, Daddy, you must teach us everything you know. About the power of his resurrection, I laughed. In 1 week, it will take a year. So we will do our best. And of course, those of you who are close to me, you know your normal prayer. God, everything that I must hear, don't let him keep it to himself. So he will pull out that which you need to hear, and we will go home satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, probably the most interesting thing that will strike you here, is that Apostle Paul is the one writing, saying, I want to know Christ. How can somebody become an apostle and say, I want to know Christ? I mean, you would think that is the cry of a sinner who wants to be born again. Or the cry of someone who has just been born again who says, I didn't know there is so much light. Now I want to know Christ. But this is an apostle. And to be an apostle is to be at the apex of the Christian hierarchy. And so this tells us straight away that knowledge can be number one in categories. And when we say in categories, what do we mean by that? If I ask anybody here, do you know a Mercedes-Benz car? All hands will go up. Oh, yes, we do. But if you have a Mercedes-Benz car and you are driving along the highway and the thing curved and the engine stops, you park by the roadside, you open the bonnet, you look at all manners of irons and wires, and suddenly you realize, I don't know Mercedes. And then you begin to look for a mechanic. And the mechanic does this, does that, and after all efforts, he will say, wait a minute, I think this is a matter for the manufacturer. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5, God said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. There is a knowledge that belongs only to the manufacturer. Many of you will think that you know your friend. Many husbands think they know their wives. And many wives think they know their husbands. You don't really know anyone like the one who manufactured the fellow. Knowledge can be in categories too. Knowledge can be in various depths. That's why we talk about deeper knowledge. That means you can go deeper and deeper and deeper when we are talking about knowledge. For example, if you ask a pastor, do you know Sister So-and-so? The pastor may say, sure, he's a member of our choir. I know her name. But then if you ask a young man who is going to marry that girl, do you know Sister So-and-so? Sure, I know her. I know her name. I know her parents. I know where she lives, etc., etc. But if you ask her husband, she has a deeper knowledge than all of them. Genesis 4 verse 1. Genesis 4 verse 1. The Bible says, Adam knew Eve. And she brought forth Cain. So there's a level of knowledge that the pastor must never get to concerning the member of the choir. Yes, there'll be trouble. Knowledge can be in magnitudes. John chapter 9, verse 24 to 25. John 9, 24 to 25 gives us an interesting insight. The Jewish leaders were talking about Jesus Christ to the blind man whose eyes were opened. They say, give glory to God. Don't say Jesus opened your eyes. We know him to be a sinner. The blind man whose eyes was open said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know. Whereas I was blind. Magnitude of knowledge. But even that man who says, listen, don't let's argue about it. I have evidence that this is a man of God or this is a miracle worker, etc., etc. He had healed me. That magnitude of knowledge is different from that of Job. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. Job 19, 25 to 27, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. The kind of knowledge that testifies of the goodness of God is different from the kind of knowledge that says, it doesn't matter what is happening. My Lord is still on his throne. Or Job 13, verse 15. Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus Christ said on one occasion, he said, I know why you people are looking after me, because you got free bread and fish. There are Christians today who are Christians because of the goodies they can get from Jesus. There are those who know him to be able to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Knowledge can be in degrees. Degrees of intimacy. For example, somebody may tell you, I know Pastor Adeboye. He's a pastor. Another fellow may say, he is my geo. That's a deeper level of knowledge. Because I told my children, I said, I have all categories of children. I have primary children, secondary children, tertiary children. Tertiary children, that's everybody. Even the Muslims call me Daddy Gio. Secondary children are those who belong to other denominations, but if I send for them, they will drop whatever they are doing and come. Primary children are those who are members of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And for the enemy to get to any of them, the enemy will have to pass through me first. That is degrees of intimacy. But then somebody may go further and say, it's not just my geo, he ordained me. His hands had already touched my head. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John was talking about his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we have heard him. We have seen him. We have looked upon him. We have handled him. There have been physical contact. It's just degree of intimacy of knowledge. And knowledge can be in grades. Progressive grades of knowledge. For example, if we talk about adultery, everybody here will say, we know what that is. Adultery is when a married man had a love affair with a married woman. But by the time you read Ezekiel 16, verse 17, Ezekiel 16, verse 17, you discover that, adultery could be much, much deeper. That simply said, or simply put, adultery simply means you take something that belongs to another person and you use it for somebody else and then put it back and pretend as if nothing has happened. That is adultery. So you take my money, use it, but probably as a loan for your boyfriend. And then before I know what was happening, you return the money. You've committed adultery with my money. And I've always told a funny story about two houseboys. The master said, what's going on? My toothpick is decreasing in number. And one of them says, it's not me. It must be John. Because in my own case, as soon as I finish using it, I return it. So in the case of John, he was stealing. In the case of this other fellow, he was committing adultery. And I can go on and give other illustrations to show you that you may think you know certain things, but you might not exactly know. I mean, when we talk about stealing, some people will just think stealing goes to things like material things, money, clothes, and so on. But one of the worst forms of stealing is stealing time. Because time cannot be bought back. It come, you want me to pray for you, you sit down, if God ever allows that. And you say, oh God, I thank the Almighty God that finally I'll be able to track you down. I've been trying to see you for 4 years. First time I came, they said you were in India. Next time they said you've gone to Australia. Oh, you travel a lot. But I understand, it's the work of God you are doing. But now, thank God, finally I am here. Okay, what is the problem? That's what I'm about to tell you. It's not really a problem, you know, because I know with God all things are possible. And now that I've seen you, I know you're going to pray with me and the problem will be solved. Okay, so what is the problem? I've told you, sir, that it's not really a problem. It's just that. The reason you are laughing is that there are some thieves here who have been stealing time. So from now on, maybe you, when you go to see your pastor, you just say, Pastor, I need prayers because my head is aching. Full stop. That's all you need to tell him and then let him pray. Now, there is what is called information. In John 11 verse 25, John 11 verse 25, Jesus Christ said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Tremendous information. But information can always be limited by the understanding of the fellow receiving the information. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, Isaiah 6, verse 9, God said to Isaiah, go and tell these people, you will hear indeed, and you will understand. So information can come, and yet the fellow hearing the information might not understand it. So that takes us to a deeper level. And we have what we call revelation. In Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17, Matthew 16, 13 to 17, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, some say you are Elijah, some said you are Jeremiah, some say you are one of the prophets. Okay, so who do you say that I am? And then, of course, Simon answered and said, oh, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus turned to him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Revelation. You can read Psalm 23 over in less than 1 minute. And you get information. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, etc., etc. But if you want a revelation, you can sit down with Psalm 23 for a month. I wrote a book on Psalm 23. After I finished writing the book, publishing it, I realized I should have spent longer time. Because after I finished the book, I suddenly said, wait a minute. As verse 1 alone, I left so many things out. I just said, the Lord, and I jumped to my shepherd. First of all, who is the Lord? Two, is. Not was. Not will be. Is. The ever-present help in time of trouble. Before I then come to my shepherd. My, not ours. So you, when you want to, when you move to revelation, and God begins to reveal to you deep things from his word, people will soon begin to ask, Are we reading the same Bible? So there's difference between information and then revelation. But then you go deeper still and you come to inspiration. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, 2 Peter 1, verse 21, the Bible tells us that prophecies came in the old days, in the olden days, by inspiration. But the elders were moved by God, and so they spoke. Inspiration. So when you come face to face with prophets, you can see those who are inspired and those who make up the prophecy. And somebody comes to you and says, "Thus saith the Lord, you have two cars, one of them should be mine." And you know that wasn't inspired. Then, even when it comes to inspiration, we still have a deeper level, as we find in Numbers 12, verse 6 to 9. Numbers 12, verse 6 to 9. The Almighty God was talking about Moses. And he said, some of the prophets, some of your prophets, when I want to speak to them, I speak to them through dreams. I speak to them through visions. But Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Incidentally, nobody was around when God made the heavens and the earth. So you wonder how Moses got Genesis chapter 1. Who do you think told him? There is what is called mouth-to-mouth kind of inspiration. So you discover that prophecies are superior one to another. I believe probably God is allow me to share this one because some of you might live here becoming prophets. And some of you would definitely live here and no longer be deceived by false prophets. Prophecies are superior one to another. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 46, 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46. Excuse me. When Elijah said, "I've heard the sound of abundance of rain," there was no cloud. So you said, now that must be serious prophecy. Because true prophecies always come when every situation is contrary to what the prophet is about to say. However, if we backtrack a little to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. God had already told Elijah, "Show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain." So, he already had a kind of background information concerning that prophecy that came. Now, so that prophecy is not on the same level as the one in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 12. 2 Kings 7, verse 1 to 12. At a time when things were so hard in the city of Samaria, that women were eating their children, a man of God had the audacity to say, "Thus saith the Lord, within 24 hours, nobody will even want to buy food. you better know who is talking to you to make that kind of prophecy. And then, of course, I mean, there was a man there, a professor of economics or whatever, who said, even if God were to open windows in heaven, can this be? So there are prophecies and there are prophecies. Prophecies are superior to one to another. And then, roll all this together, they are still not in the same category as Isaiah 7 verse 14. Isaiah 7 verse 14. When Isaiah said, God himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Ah. If he hasn't established a reputation as a prophet of tremendous ability to hear from God, they would have stoned him to death. What did you say? Because in those days, false prophets were killed. Rather cut off their head or stoned them to death. It reminds me of a little prophecy I gave several years ago in Nigeria. At that time, I was a president of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. And two people were contesting for presidency, Abiola and Tofa. How many of you remember those days? You are getting old. So the brethren came to me and said, well, you are president, so who should we vote for? I mean, we have two Muslims on our hands. Which of the two will be the lesser evil? And I told them, neither of them will ever rule. Oh, no, you missed this time. I mean, there are only two of them. If you toss a coin, it will be either head or tail. I said, well, we shall see. And we saw. We're talking about knowledge. That these things, not just the little thing you think you know, there's always much, much more to know. Much, much more to know. Now, how much you know depends on how much you wish to know. Tonight I'm just laying the foundation because I'm sure some of you are even already saying, why don't you stop preaching and just come and lay hands on me? We'll come to that. Isaiah 54 verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 54 verse 1 to 3 says, if you enlarge your capacity, God will enlarge what he has to give you. And that's my own translation. You can read Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 3. And you will see what he says. So you lengthen your cords, expand your cords, and see what I can do to fill it. If you are willing to learn more, God is willing to teach you more. If you think you already know it all, then that's where the problem lies. He said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. He's saying that those who keep on hungering and thirsting, Again and again, seeing young ministers come to me and say, Daddy, my problem is I don't feel satisfied. I just feel there is something I need to know. I say, congratulations, that shows that you are still alive. Dead people were never hungry. And the moment you feel you have arrived, you are finished. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm hungrier now than I was 40 years ago. Because I've discovered there is still so much to know. So much to know. I told one of them, I said, in my own days in the universities, we have three categories of students. General degree students. Some of you are old enough who remember those days. Combined honors students. When we say combined honors, we mean you combine maybe physics and mathematics. And special honors students, that is, who focus on maybe mathematics alone. And in those days, stupid as we were, those of us who are special honors students, we look down on the others. You are combined honors. It means you are not good enough of math, you are not good enough of physics, so you combine the two. General honors, we don't even want to look at those people because those people are just prepared for teaching. So they want them to, they're just a little bit above A level. So I was a special honors mathematics student. And one day I strolled into the library of the teachers, of the lecturers. And I saw a book there, Introduction to. And I picked it up. I opened the first page. I couldn't understand anything in the first page of Introduction to. That day my balloon was punctured. I thought I knew something. And then I discovered that I didn't even know the introduction to something. There is always so much to know. Let me tell you one thing. The closer you get to God, the farther away it seems to be. In John 4, chapter 13 to 30, John 4, 13 to 30, that lady came with a pot to draw water. She left with a well. You can drop your pot in Jerusalem and go home with a well. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7, the widow of the son of the prophet who was destitute and came to Elisha was told to go and borrow empty vessels and borrow not a few. When God began to release the blessing, when God began to multiply the oil stopped as soon as there were no more vessels to contain. In other words, if she had collected twice the number of empty vessels, she would have got double the amount of oil she got. You can expand your capacity and you can know much more than you know now. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 15, 2 Kings 2, 9 to 15, when Elijah was about to leave and asked Elisha, what do you want me to do? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. What are you talking about? My spirit brought down fire from heaven anytime I wanted. And you want double that? The boy said, you are the one who asked me to ask. I want much more, much more. Thank God he got it. I remember telling some of you who are old enough to know that when I became born again and I read that it is okay to covet earnestly the best gifts. The only place in the Bible where covetousness is allowed is when it comes to gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said to God, I want the double portion of the spirit of Elisha, plus the double portion of that of Peter, plus double that of Paul, plus double that of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here. Add everything together and double it again. Expand your coast. I remember the Lord told me then, boy, you're asking for trouble. They won't let you rest if you get what I'm asking for. I said, I don't mind. I should have been careful then. It doesn't matter where you are. God can take you much, 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 much further. It can move you much, much, much higher. In everything. Physically, materially, spiritually. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 15, 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 15, Solomon was a wealthy man. It takes a wealthy man to offer 1,000 bullocks in one offering. 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 15. By the time God finished with him, in verse 15 there, silver had become like stones. In his kingdom. He thought he was wealthy. But then God showed him. So that by the time we got to 2 Chronicles 7 verse 5. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 5. When the same boy came back to say thank you. He brought 22,000 cows. Plus 120,000 sheep. There's a lot of difference between 1,000 and 22,000. A lot of difference. And so Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. So when it comes to say, I want to know you, don't limit God. But then, it is not just how much you wish to know that will determine how much we know. The second thing that is very important is how much price you are willing to pay. Because the text we read says, all that were gained to me, I counted but loss. In other words, Paul was saying, I added everything together. I said, you can have it, just give me knowledge. I've always said that if anybody wants to be a messenger, he doesn't need to go to college. All he needs to do is to be able to read signs. The chairman says, messenger, sir, I want tea. Yes, sir. Sugar, two. You show him by two fingers, eh? That's all. But you want to be a professor. You won't just go to secondary school. You won't just get the first degree. You won't just get the second or third degree. Even after you become doctor, that's when the journey begins. how intensely you pray. On this particular trip, in particular, is normally determined by whether or not what you are seeking for is a matter of life and death. We are not the only group coming to Israel. Other people come, they visit all the places you visit, they are laughing, they are joking, and they go home, and even write after their names, JP, Jerusalem Pilgrim. But some of us come to Israel to have a life-changing experience. And I remember the first time we came in 1995. When we got to the Garden Tomb, I don't know if we've been there. Well, we were only 50 in number. Of course, 50 of us came. One ran away. So we were 49 when we got to the Garden Tomb. And I was very, very distressed. I went to our ambassador. I said, please, sir, they told me your people might have a rough idea where somebody like this could be hiding. He said, what are you saying? I said, I want that fellow back. I mean, we were 50. Who came? How can I go home with 49? He laughed. Why are you laughing, sir? He said, are you really serious? I said, yes, sir. Ah. He said, you must be a real man of God. I said, what do you mean? He said, only a month ago, one man came with 283 people, and he alone went home. Anyway, that's just to prepare you for prayer. When we got to the Garden Tomb, I told those who were there then. How many of you were there then? Is there anyone? Okay, one or two. Good. I said, you're about to enter into the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, when he entered in, it was the lamb that was slain. When he came out, he came out as the conquering lion of Judah. I said, if you go in and come out the same way, then you have wasted this trip. So then when we got to the Mount of Transfiguration, I said, Peter, I can't go with you to all those places anymore. I'm 75. I see climbing mountains at 75, they should refer you to the psychiatrist. I told them, I said, brethren, the Lord came to the bottom of this mountain with 12 people, 12 disciples. He left 9 behind at the bottom. He took 3 to the top. Now, what is the offense of the 9 that were left behind? I said, but he brought 3 because those 3 were special. I told my people, you're on this mountain? God must have special interest in you. Don't go down the way you came. Why am I telling you this story? Many people come to Jerusalem for the fun of it. Don't be one of them. Your prayer from now, till you depart, must be the prayer of someone who is praying as if the very life, his or her very life, depends on it. Because it does. In Genesis 32, verse 24 to 30, Genesis 32, 24 to 30, when Jacob knew that Esau was coming to meet him tomorrow with a band of 400 men, he knew that God must intervene in his affair that night, or by tomorrow he'll be a dead man. And God gave him an opportunity to settle the matter. Bible said an angel wrestled with him. God sent an angel to go and test his determination. And they began to wrestle. A man wrestling with an angel. God has a sense of humor. And they said when the angel was not prevailing, he dislocated the tie of this young man. The man said, you will have to dislocate my head if I'm going to let you go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm closing with that tonight because I'm going to give you 5 minutes to pray. Because after the 5 minutes, I'm coming to lay hands on you. In the 5 minutes, settle your case with God. Tell him exactly what you want, because I will only pray a prayer of agreement, a prayer that will agree with you that what you have asked God for, you will get. And if you like, you can pray the prayer as a gentleman or as a lady. But if you know that your future depends on this night, you'll probably talk to the Almighty God from the bottom of your heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Eternal Rock of Ages, I want to bless your holy name. Thank you because in every man's life, every woman's life, there's an appointed time. I believe that for your children here, this is the appointed day. So please, Father, on behalf of every one of us, accept my thanks in Jesus' name. Father, I'm in total agreement with these, your children. That whatever they've asked of you, they will receive. Because you said in your word that if two of us shall agree, as touching anything we ask, that our Father in heaven will do it for us. I agree with them. And I ask for mercy for them. If there's anything at all that can stand between them and the miracles they need now, Father, please put it under your blood. If there are evil forces that have been working against any of them, I decree that such evil forces be bound and that they will lose your children and let them go. I pray that the blood that conquers Satan will conquer for your children.
Amen.
And today, Lord, as I lay my hands on them, please let your resurrection power flow through them.
Amen.
Let your anointing destroy every yoke in their lives.
Amen.
And for those who are standing proxy for someone special somewhere not here, please, as I lay hands on such a fellow, let the anointing flow through.
Amen.
And let us hear good news, Lord.
Amen.
And when you've done it all, take all the glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
This year you will suffer no loss.
Captivity. RCC Dubai TV channel.